call the EMWD Water District's Board of Directors to order this morning, this being November the 4th, 2020, at a little after 9 a.m. Director Slauson, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Yes, everyone, please stand, face the flag. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call, please, this being a virtual meeting.
Yes. Director Pauly?
Present.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
Director Corona?
Here.
Wonderful. Okay. This being the time for agenda item number one, which is public comments. Any subject within the jurisdiction of EMWD, speakers are required to limit their comments to 3 minutes. Any members of the public wishing to speak, please unmute your dialing if you dial in at *6, and then we'll make any adjustments that we need to at that point. Do we have anyone in the audience on the phone that wishes to comment? Hearing none, I see none in the room. Let's go to agenda item two, which is executive reports. Paul?
Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board, good morning. Before I start, I want to do a couple of things. First, at our last board meeting, we were having difficulty with the audio. So I want to ask Director Record and Director Corona if you're able to hear everybody in the room.
Yeah,
I hear you great. Much better than the last time.
Okay, super. We're doing our best. It's a work in progress. Well, again, good morning. My written report's included in your package. Before I get started on the report, I just want to express on behalf of the staff here at Eastern, President Sullivan, our appreciation for your years of service to this district. You've been a fantastic asset, dedicated to the district, supportive of the staff, supportive of our strategic initiatives and mission, and I just want to express my personal thanks for being able to work with you for all these years here at the district. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
In my report, a couple of very brief items I'd like to focus on. First, I'm very happy to report that our purified water replenishment project, advanced water treatment pilot project, is well underway. I want to thank our staff for getting that system set up at the San Jacinto Valley Water Reclamation Facility. That pilot plant's going to run until spring of 2021, and it's really to evaluate the cost-effectiveness of the closed-circuit reverse osmosis technology to remove salt from treated Title 22 recycled water. This is really a great pilot project insofar as we have outside consultants, CDM Smith, and Separation Processes, which are our leading consultants in this area. And we're also partnering with the Cal Poly Pomona engineering students who are assisting our staff with the pilot program. So it's a really great partnership, and they'll be doing and assisting with the operations monitoring and sampling of the pilot unit. So again, we'll be bringing this information forward to the board over the next 6 months. Items of interest to the board. I thought we had two very good sessions of the EMWD Water Leaders Academy. As you recall, this was a program that we started several years ago, but we turned to a virtual format this year. We hosted our second session on October 29th. We had over 40 participants, a lot of really good engagement, a lot of really tough questions from the audience, but I thought good questions. And so I think it certainly shows that there's a lot of interest in EMWD on behalf of a number of stakeholders. Finally, an item that's not included on my list today is we had an opportunity yesterday afternoon for the general managers of Western Municipal Water District, Inland Empire, and Eastern and Orange County Water District to meet with the Municipal Water District Orange County General Manager regarding the SARCUP program. We have an agreement that is pending at the Metropolitan Water District. Just to understand that program, the water that's being provided, or some of the water for the program, is water that's being sold by San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District, a separate state contractor, to Metropolitan, and then Metropolitan would in turn provide half of that water to the SARCUP water banking facilities. Now, the SARCUP program has water banking facilities in Eastern Service Area, in Western Service Area, and in the Orange County Water District Service Area and the Chino Basin. And so our agencies who operate the banking facilities are to get the water from Valley for banking purposes. As we proceeded with these negotiations over the last several years with Metropolitan, Municipal Water District of Orange County, who is the MET member agency in Orange County, so bear in mind Orange County Water District, who operates the water bank, has to purchase water through MODOC, expressed an interest that if there was water made available from San Bernardino Valley that was not placed into the water banks, that they would have an opportunity to acquire that water. And we said that sounded reasonable and were open to doing that. MODOC has now taken a contrary position insofar as they have to approve this MET agreement, and they're holding up the approval of the MET agreement and are now shifting their position from getting surplus water to the program to saying now they want a portion or a split of that water. That came out in a very contentious hour and 45-minute meeting yesterday with MODOC's general manager. We're very disappointed with this. I think the agencies in the SARCUP program feel that this is really not an appropriate way to proceed. So we'll be engaging MODOC's board chair and their metropolitan directors, and Director Record will need your assistance and President Sullivan with that, and trying to kind of elevate this to have a discussion of really what MODOC's objectives are and what's fair and equitable under this program. So I just wanted to get the board up to speed on that. That we also have placed in front of you the very preliminary results of the election and the local races. Again, that's always subject to change, but wanted to make sure we had something in front of you to take a look at on those results. So with that, are there any questions I can answer this morning?
No questions. Director's on the phone. Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Laura.
Nothing today.
Nick.
I have one item I'd like to share with you. I had an opportunity last week to do a tour of the Paris II Desalter facility. I was out there with Joe Muad, Bruce Mitzel, Director of Field Engineering, and our construction manager. I know that Joe recently has presented an update on that project, provided some great images and aerial shots of that. But I got to tell you, there's nothing like seeing it up front and close. There's a lot of great work going on out there. All the buildings and facilities are out of the ground. When we were out there, there was a hive of activity of construction work. I mean, we had, you know, mechanical contractors, electricians, roofers, the windows were going in. It was pretty impressive. So we spent a couple of hours out there, you know, seeing firsthand what was going on. And it's very impressive. And I want to extend an offer to any of you who may want to have a tour of that facility. It's very impressive. And you have maybe an hour to spare. Definitely be happy to coordinate that with our construction manager.
Will you be the personal tour guide?
Absolutely.
Okay. I might take you up on that then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Joe.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. Just one quick item. We've been coordinating closely with the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master Advisor, and they will be hosting their next Water Master Board meeting here at our boardroom. It is going to be a hybrid meeting, meaning that we'll also work with our IS department to make sure that they can accommodate virtual participation. So we're looking forward to facilitating that next meeting on November 23rd. That's it.
I have nothing today.
Thank you. Okay, with that, let's go to agenda item 3, which is the consent calendar. Anybody wish to pull any item?
Mr. President, this is Steve Corona. I am going to need to recuse myself on item B. My family does business with Krieger and Stewart.
We have a motion for A, C, and D.
I will move items A, C, and D.
I will second items A, C, and D.
We have a roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll have a motion and a second for agenda item 3B with Director Corona abstaining.
I will move.
For a potential conflict of interest.
I will move that item.
I'll second it.
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Director Record. Hard.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with Director Corona abstaining. Let's go to agenda item 5, which is the action calendar. 5-4A is approve and authorize and award a contract with Schuler Constructors Incorporated for $279,620 under specification number 1391S, El Centro Lift Station Wet Well Pipe Replacement, and additional appropriation of $492,900.
Good morning, Sean. Directors.
Morning.
Thank you for the introduction. The El Centro Lift Station is located north of Scott Road between the I-215 and Winchester Road. Moving to slide 3, the background. The station was constructed originally in 2007 and has seen significant corrosion of some of the metallic features within the wet well, in particular the piping as well as the lifting cables and the pump guides. On to slide 3, the scope is to replace the discharge piping with stainless steel, new guide rails for hoisting the pump out, as well as a new lifting cable. There will be a need for bypass pumping to work on the lift station to keep service. On to slide 5. We opened the bids on September 23rd. We had 5 bidders. The lowest responsible bid was from Schuler Construction in the amount of $279,620, approximately 20% below the engineer's estimate. Our schedule, if the board awards the contract, will begin in December. We would complete in October of 2021. Spec Services was our engineer of record on the project. We would like to continue service with them through construction. We negotiated a fee for the items listed at $27,500. Our recommendation today is to award a construction contract to Schuler Constructors in the amount of $279,620, a contract to Spec Services for $27,500, administrative award for any ancillary contracts needed to complete the project, and an additional appropriation of $492,900, bringing the total estimated project cost to $529,700. And if that brings me to the end of my presentation, if the board has any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Do you have any questions?
No.
If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I would move approval.
Been moved by Director Record, seconded by Director Slauson. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Okay, that's approved unanimously. Let's go to 4B, which is approve and authorize the addition of funds to the in the amount of $275,000. For as-need engineering, non-design facilities planning services for a revised category total of $1,075,000. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Director. Morning. President Sullivan. Yes, so this recommendation is for the addition of funds in the amount of $275,000 for our as-needed facilities planning services. A little bit of background on our as-needed services. These agreements are put in place for a period of 2 years to provide administrative efficiencies for our lower value assignments. These would be assignments, task orders that are less than $100,000 each. It also serves to establish a list of pre-qualified consultants that our various departments can utilize for larger dollar projects. The agreements are competitively awarded. And just by way of background, there are currently 150 of these as-needed agreements in operation at the district. So specific to this request for as-needed facilities planning agreements, there were 6 agreements approved by the board in May of 2019. These planning agreements include services for evaluating system improvement needs, creating hydraulic models, and preparing facility plans and reports. The consultants that were awarded in May of 19 were West Yost Associates, Dudek, HDR, Black & Veatch, Woodard & Curran, and Water Systems Consulting. That award was for the category total of $800,000 for those 2 years, and our expenditures through September of this year total approximately $784,000. So accordingly, staff have added 10% in accordance with district policy to that category total, bringing the current category total to $880,000 to sustain ongoing work. There were several large task orders that occurred over the initial year and a half of these agreements. Some of the examples include the Temecula Valley Inflow and Infiltration Investigation. That was approximately $89,000. The 2019 and 2020 hydraulic model update at $85,000 and $80,000, respectively. The Kali Medusa and Warm Springs Erosion Protection task orders at $95,000 and $75,000 each. And importantly, those two projects, the Kali Medusa sewer line and Warm Springs creek crossing, were unanticipated and result of erosion control resulting from some rains in prior events. Those alone totaled over $170,000. So the facilities planning department does anticipate additional $275,000 through the expiration of the current term. That expires in March of 2021. And this amount of $275,000 does include the $80,000 that was administratively added to the contracts. Projects that are upcoming include the 1627 pressure zone tank siting study, East Moreno Valley and water and sewer system evaluation, and the Mead Valley booster station replacement. So in summary, again in May of 2019, the board approved and authorized a total of $800,000 for these all six of these contracts, the category. $80,000 was administratively added to that in September of this year, and we have spent approximately $784,000 through that time frame. It is recommended that we add $275,000 to the category total, covering all six vendors through contract expiration in March. And then, importantly, solicitations for the next two-year term will be going out in December of this year. Are there any questions with that?
Directors, have any questions? This basically is a stopgap move to make sure that we can fund the rest of this that we have commitments for.
Correct, through March of 2021.
Correct. Okay, I'll entertain a motion and a second.
I'll move the item.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Motion is approved unanimously. Let's go to agenda item 4C, which is approve and authorize the procurement of a portable wastewater pump in the amount not to exceed $280,000.
Morning. I'll give you a little overview on this. The district operates and maintains 55 lift stations and 4 regional water reclamation facilities. And as part of ensuring reliable wastewater collection and treatment, we own portable pumping equipment. Helps us to maintain all that. One example of the use of this is currently at Warm Springs Lift Station. Warm Springs Lift Station is located on Diaz Road, northwest of Winchester Road in Temecula, and is the largest of the three lift stations that pump to Temecula RWRF. So a little reminder here, in 2019, we experienced a sinkhole at Warm Springs Lift Station, and approximately 160 cubic yards of material entered the system and the wet well. So we performed video inspections and did not see any signs of debris or anything above the surface water, but we suspect that rocks remain in the wet well and collection system. This Warm Springs Lift Station is set up in a wet well, dry well configuration, and you can see here these are the pumps in the dry well. The ground surface elevation of the Warm Springs is below the floodplain, and the pump you see on the bottom left is an immersible pump that would be used in the event that the dry well would flood. Over the past 8 months, we've experienced two pump failures due to rocks being caught in the pump. On the top right, you'll see that there is the arrow is pointed to the impeller that is cracked from the rock that's there. We also have passed rocks through the pumps, and the picture on the bottom right are the rocks caught in the check valve. The concern we have is that if a rock were to get caught in the pump, it could crack the volute of the pump, which the arrow is pointing to on the bottom left, and that would cause the drywall to flood. Knowing that, we installed a portable wastewater pump at the site and is capable of producing 5,000 gallons a minute, but the daily flow for the facility, the daily peak flows, is about 7,500 gallons a minute. So we are proposing to purchase an additional portable high-capacity wastewater pump. The proposed pump will provide full redundancy of the facility, and then it also allows us to move it to another location in the event we have an emergency somewhere else while still keeping the existing one on site to still provide some redundancy at the lift station. And then following the completion of the new Warm Springs lift station, we would have that pump in inventory for maintenance, and we can use them for things like water transfer, lift station bypass, and sewer trunk bypass. It is a diesel-driven motor, so as part of that, we wanted to make sure that it met all the updated requirements, and it meets California Air Resources Board Tier 4 requirements. Tier 4 is the most stringent applied to off-road diesel equipment, and so we're proposing getting two permits. We need one permit to allow us to keep the pump on site for over a year. It's going to be an extended period, and that's with South Coast AQMD. And then we need a second permit for the California Air Resources Board that allows us to move it around for emergency uses and temporary uses as long as it doesn't remain there for a long period of time. The cost estimate for this, including tax rate and everything, is $280,000, and it's trailer-mounted, so it is portable. So our recommendation is to approve and authorize the procurement of a high-capacity portable wastewater pump in the amount not to exceed $280,000. Are there any questions?
I have no questions.
If I could just add a comment to this. I think the importance of this additional high-capacity wastewater pump is not only for the short-term need to back up the lift station, Warm Springs lift station, but if you look at our potential vulnerability for environmental impact from the wastewater system, it's through failure of the lift stations or perhaps failure of the system where we need to bypass pump. So having this additional pump in place after it's done with the Warm Springs lift station, having it in our inventory is incredibly valuable, particularly if we're under an emergency situation, and really gives us the flexibility to do complete bypass pumping of our system in pretty much all locations. So if we were to have a failure, we wouldn't be releasing wastewater into the environment. So I think it's a very important piece of equipment. It is rather costly, but we think it's really will give us the flexibility and the redundancy that we need to help mitigate potential spills of wastewater in the future.
Yeah, we went over this fairly extensively at Opposite Engineering, and you know, we have a couple of very significant lift stations where we could be vulnerable at some point, and so we're better off having this as an absolute backup. If we needed two at once, then we have one that we can call upon. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we'll entertain a motion in a second.
I'll move the item.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 6, which is a receive and file. I'll accept a motion in a second for approval of items 6A through 6B.
I'd move approval.
So move.
I'll second.
Been moved by Director Corona, seconded by Director Slauson. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record? Dr. Ruckert?
Aye.
Dr. Corona?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. With that, let's go to agenda item 7, which is the calendar review. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. I have one new event for your consideration. On Friday, November 6th, the Water Advisory Committee of Orange County will be hosting a meeting to discuss the affordability of water. That will be held at 7:30 a.m., and the speakers will include Adan Ortega, Paul Jones, and Laurel Firestone. Director Ruckert is scheduled to participate. Thank you. Moving to page 2, we have the board's master calendar for the next 2 weeks. Beginning with today at 4 p.m., the district is hosting a briefing with Supervisor Hewitt. Director Sullivan will participate.
Yes.
On tomorrow, November 5th, at 11:30 a.m., the joint Inland and Orange County caucuses will be held virtually. Director Ruckert's calendar. And tomorrow at 12:15 p.m., Director Sullivan has been invited to participate in the Menifee Rotary Club presentation. The district was asked to present at that meeting.
Hopefully I'll be there.
Thank you. And at 4 p.m. tomorrow, the Board Administrative Committee will meet for Directors Pauly and Sullivan. And we've reviewed the November 6th Water Advisory Committee meeting. On Friday, November 6th at 10 a.m., the annual poster contest judging will be held in the boardroom. Director Pauly is scheduled to participate. On Monday, November 9th and Tuesday, November 10th, the Metropolitan Water District Board and Committee meetings will be held. That's Director Ruckert's calendar. Monday, November 9th to Tuesday, November 10th, the National Waterways Conference will hold its annual meeting, and Director Sullivan is scheduled to participate.
Yes.
Monday, November 9th through Thursday, November 12th, the National Water Resources Association will be holding its annual conference, and Director Sullivan is also scheduled to participate in portions of that event. On Monday, November 9th, Director Slauson has an update meeting with the General Manager at 11 a.m. On Thursday, November 12th, at 7:30 a.m., Director Pauly has an update with the General Manager. And on Thursday, November 12th, at 8 a.m., Director Corona has been invited to participate in the Temecula Student of the Month program. At 8:30 a.m., also for Director Corona's calendar, we have the Rancho California Water District Board meeting. On November 12th, at 2:30 p.m., Director Ruckert has an update with the General Manager. And at 3:30 p.m. on the 12th, the Southern California Water Coalition annual event and awards will be held virtually. Directors Pauly and Ruckert are both scheduled to participate. On Monday, November 16th at 11 a.m., the CalDESAL Executive Committee teleconference will be held. Director Pauly's calendar. And Tuesday, November 17th at 9:30 a.m., the SAPA Commission will meet. Director Slauson will participate. And on November 17th as well, we have the Board Planning Committee meeting at 3:30 p.m. That is a reschedule for Directors Corona and Ruckert. Moving to page 3, we have the upcoming board meetings and committee meetings with reschedules noted. On page 4, we have the upcoming interagency meetings and holiday schedule. Are there any questions or additions to the calendar?
I had a quick question on the update with the General Manager. Have we moved that back here? Or we? I've lost track of Corky's.
Yes.
I've lost track of what's open and what's not open.
Yes.
Okay.
They're currently open, but I'll check the day before.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
Now, Nicole,
Thank you.
Could you send me the information on the water advisory?
Absolutely.
Friday?
Yes, I will, Director Slauson. Thank you.
And I'll probably need to reschedule my meeting with Paul on the update meeting on the 25th. I'll be out of town.
Okay.
So we can do something later.
Absolutely. I'll reach out to you, Director Sullivan.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the individual directors' meetings. Director Pauly.
Yes, I did the quarterly deferred compensation meeting, an oversight committee. We had a good briefing from our advisors on market conditions, et cetera. And Water Leaders Academy on the 22nd, I was not able to attend. Riverside County Water Task Force, it's usual good information. I think we're probably, Paul, remind, we're getting more people virtually than we used to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's trending in that way. I think at the peak of the meeting, we had, April, remind me, 120 participants,
yeah, that's,
which is, it's good, very good. Yeah, I think no, we're getting a broader audience as well, which is gratifying.
And the content is always good. And I hear more people that I run into that are interested in joining, so I'm going to get them contact information with April. And it's I'm glad we're involved in that. And then the Water Leaders Academy, which was virtual, I did attend. And I thought that went pretty good for a virtual meeting. So kudos to April and her team for once again pulling that off. So I appreciate it. And that's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Director Record.
Yes, the California Farm Water Coalition meeting, a really good organization and working hard to deal with lower donations because of all the issues up in the air right now. Standing committee meetings at Metropolitan included IRP, Organization Personnel Technology Committee, Bay Delta, Audit and Ethics Exec Committee. I think what took up the most time was getting a lot of public comment from some employees that are raising issues about harassment. And it's this has been going on for a few months. The legal department, what was revealed on that meeting day, that they have hired an independent legal firm to investigate and find out what's going on. And so when the legal department, Marcia Scully, said that whenever someone makes accusations like that, it's the job of the legal department to engage and find out if it's accurate and if it is, how to fix it. So it was not surprising that legal was on top of it. Also, the ethics officer is going to do an investigation of the EEO process and human resources, which is very timely and very good. So that's a recap of those meetings. General manager stakeholder meeting October 28th was an interview with the Hawkins firm on what I, as a director, would like to provide as input for the process going forward to select a new general manager. Thought it was a good meeting. And then Diamond Valley Lake MOI Implementation Committee, good meeting. We have some good momentum going and good engagement from Metropolitan, and seated a new member from the public, Bruce Wallace, who will be a great addition to the committee. That's my report.
Terrific. Okay. Director Slauson.
Yes, I did not attend. I was unable to attend the deferred compensation meeting. attended the Water Leaders Academy. I thought it was very informative, a good overview of especially the district. Attended the Riverside, the Water Task Force. I thought that was great. It's always informative, learning different areas. And yesterday at SAPA, we had just sort of a discussion on the insurance coverage that the district holds, and we acted on the assessing homelessness impacts. We agreed to fund additional study. That's it.
Okay. With that, I did attend the Water Leaders Academy on October the 22nd, and I thought it was very well attended and very well done. And as Phil said, kudos to April and her crew. The Riverside County Water Task Force speaker series, I think, is just growing in its popularity, and the information that's provided to a whole number of folks here in the Inland Empire. I did attend the second Water Leaders Academy on the 29th. I did attend the National Waterways Conference annual membership meeting on the 27th. And we also, at that meeting, voted on who will be all the new directors. I did attend the update with the general manager on the 28th, and I always find that extremely valuable and informative. And I did attend the Western Riverside Council of Governments Executive Committee last Monday. And I thought it was well done. I know that Western presented their portion of what's going on in the water community, and actually Director Denstead did a nice job. That is all of mine. Director Corona, did you have any last-minute meetings that didn't appear on the schedule?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. Director's comments. We have any director's comments or future agenda items? Hearing none. Council, we have reason for closed session today.
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 for public employment concerning the general manager.
Okay. If we could take a 5 or 10 minute break here so we can clear the room, and then we'll continue on with closed session. We're going to have it in here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Back in open session. Council, can you report out, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 to discuss public employment concerning the general manager. Discussion was had by the board and instruction was given to staff. No formal action was taken by the board. That concludes my closed session report.
Thank you. All right. Do we have any other comments from the directors? If not, then we will adjourn the meeting to the regular meeting on Wednesday, November the 18th, 2020, at 9 a.m. Thank you for the participation today.
Thank you.
Close it out.
Yes.